Let me tell you a little bit about Clay Olson. He is a passionate filmmaker, marketer, and entrepreneur, and he's from Northern Utah, and he's been part of starting several companies, and his most he finds fulfillment in helping others, which is why he left a growing company and co-founded Fight the New Drug. And Fight the New Drug has been on ABC Nightline, ABC News, CNN, and the Dr. Drew Show. A couple years ago, he was here, and my daughter came and heard him, and she's been on fire about fighting pornography ever since then. If you have not heard him before, and if you find a lot of value in what he has to say, I challenge you, youth, to go talk to your principal or your teachers and get him to get this group to your school, because if it helps you, it will be good to help your friends. So that's my challenge to you. So here's Clay Olson.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys hear me? You guys hear me okay? Okay. So I'm super excited to be here. We got a lot of people. Who's traveling the furthest to be here? St. George? Anybody not from St. George here? Yeah? Where are you from?
Washington.
I know we got some people from the Red Rock group over here, Red Rock School. Give it up for the Red Rock School back in the back here. Yeah, we can do better than that. Come on, give it up for the Red Rock School back there. Now, we have got a lot to talk about, and we only have 4 hours to do it. So, that's good. He's like, I wish we had that kind of time, because there's that kind of stuff to talk about, but we don't have that kind of time, so we're going to cruise through this material and talk about a lot of stuff. I'm going to give you 3 reasons. I am passionate, okay, about what I do, and you'll see that come through throughout this presentation. I'm passionate about what I do and what I get to do all over the country. And I think by the end of this presentation, you guys are going to be just as passionate as me. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why you should be just as passionate as me. And it really boils down to the fact that pornography can be addictive. It can really harm our ability to connect and love. And it can really impact our society. Okay, and so we'll kind of talk about those things in more depth. But real quick, before we get going, how many of you like free stuff? Nobody. Okay. Well, anyway. Okay, so there might be an opportunity throughout the presentation to raise your hand and get involved. And if that comes up, raise your hand, and you might be able to come up and participate and get something for free. So, but let's dive into this, okay? How many of you like your freedom? Raise your hand. There's some of you like, I don't care. No. We all like our freedom. Freedom is very important to us. Freedom is something that we kind of gravitate to, something that we love, because, you know, this ability to make our own choices is pretty important. When something comes into my life and takes away my freedom, I fight back. I don't like it. I like to have that ability to make my own choices and kind of choose where I want to go. And I have that ability, and each one of us have that ability, because I've got one of these things called a brain. How many of you have a brain? Raise your hand. Uh-oh. There's a lot of people in the back who did not raise their hand. Probably explains a lot to the person next to you. But no, we all have a brain. We all have this thing that is able to make choices for us. And it's pretty important that brain is kind of working at full capacity, right? We all have one of these things. Now, sometimes we do things that can harm these brains, right? Sometimes we don't take the best care of these very powerful things within our bodies, like this. Oh, ouch. Or this right here. Boom. I don't know. Hey, at least he had a helmet. This one's the worst one. Oh! No bueno. Ouch. Or I don't know what he's thinking right here. Oh, that. And sometimes we just don't make the best decisions with those brains, like. So close. So close. Guys, we've all been there. Well, not there, right? But I mean, We've all been there. We've all lost a few brain cells in our lives. This is part of growing up. This is part of being a kid, right? We lose a few brain cells along the way. We hit our heads. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about this kind of way that we can harm our brains. Although that would be a pretty rad presentation, right? No, I'm here to talk about a different way that we can hurt our brains from the inside. What's something that you learned from when you were a kid that can hurt your brain from the inside? Any ideas? Like, you learned it through, like, DARE program and other things like that. Any idea? Drugs, right? Drugs can harm our brains. That's why the individuals that struggle with drugs struggle with life and a lot of times, because the part of their brain that's supposed to help them kind of through that has been rewired and changed. And so I think it's important for the duration of this presentation that we understand what addiction is and what is it. And I have a friend, he grew up on the East Coast, and he talked about his addiction to drugs. And I think it's important that we understand that. So check it out, what he had to say.
I got into music, basically, a lot of stuff that I felt I wanted to express. A lot of music that I've written has been, just from my personal experiences, a lot of angst or frustration. A lot of it's actually kind of worked more towards addiction, because I've struggled as an addict with drugs. And so a lot of the messages and things that I was writing had to do specifically with addiction. I got into drugs basically, a lot of it was just to kind of have fun. And I had this attitude that we only live life once, so I might as well experience everything I can. And so I did that. You know, started out, you know, just trying out pot, and then moved over to other things like LSD and some of the harder stuff. And it's kind of this downward spiral, because the harder the stuff you do, the harder the come down is too. And then the crappier you feel, and then the more you want more of it. And it's just this, it just gets progressively worse. I totally went off where I just was trying to be high all the time, dropped out of school. Of course, my family and parents are concerned about me. Even my friends that are users were concerned about me, because I was, you know, over at the top with just wanting this escape. And you know, eventually it just caught up to me and crushed me. And it took me a while to pull out of it.
Now, maybe you guys know somebody like Matt. Maybe somebody in your own family has struggled with addiction. Maybe you yourself have struggled with some level of addiction in the past. But have you ever thought to yourselves, what is addiction? I mean, what is it about these things that people are putting into their bodies, or these behaviors that people are participating in, that force them to keep coming back to something that even they don't want to continue to do? Even they want out, and yet they're forced in. What is that? Well, I can tell you right now, it's not about being weak. It's not about kind of not being able to hack it. There's an actual scientific explanation as to why addiction happens, and it all starts with this guy, the brain, which we've established that most of us have, all of us have. Now, in this brain, we have what we call the reward pathway. That's all I need you to remember. What is it?
Reward pathway.
What is it?
Reward pathway.
Look at that power. Wow. Okay. So it's the reward pathway in your brain. Every single one of us have this, okay? When you do something good, something that you like, something that you enjoy, pleasure chemicals are released into the reward pathway of your brain, in between what we call these neural connectors, which you'll see in a second. Now, pleasure chemicals are released into this reward pathway of your brain, and it makes you feel good. It makes you want to repeat that behavior. For instance, I love music. When I'm playing music, when I've occasionally performed it or written it, pleasure chemicals are released into these in my reward pathway in between these neural connectors, and it makes me want to continue doing it. Like, hey, this is cool. I'm rewarded for that. But this same process can be hijacked. Now, let's kind of understand this for a little bit better. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy doing in life?
Whatever,
okay? So literally, whatever this kid is doing, neurochemicals are being released. He's like, this is so cool. Easy pleaser. Okay. What are some other things that we like to do? What do you like to do? Be with your friends. When you're with your friends or doing whatever, pleasure chemicals are released in between these neural connectors, and it makes you feel good, and it makes you want to repeat this behavior. What do you like to do with the backwards hat? dancing, sorry, what was it? Ballet dancing. So when you're ballet dancing, pleasure chemicals are released in between these neural connections. This is so cool. I want to keep doing this. Now, this is healthy, normal, natural, and yet this is the process in your brain that can be hijacked. Okay? When you introduce something like a chemical into your body, a drug, or introduce a behavior that's highly addictive, this reward pathway can be hijacked. And it does two things. First of all, it releases these same chemicals, but in some cases, in overdoses. So it floods that reward pathway of your brain. Secondly, it's not releasing those chemicals naturally. So your brain literally starts to rewire itself, change, physiologically alter. And over time, the things that you used to like to do, like whatever, or hanging out with your friends, or dancing, no longer cut it. Because they don't release enough. And so to just feel normal, you need more of what you've been feeding it more often and a more hardcore version. This is what addiction is. This is what addiction is. And what we've also learned is that individuals that struggle with severe cases of addiction, okay, so in any kind of an addiction, severe cases of addiction, that the frontal lobes of their brain can actually decrease in size. Researchers out in Cambridge University and in Germany have been doing a lot of brain scans recently with addiction in general, and they have found that the gray matter of your brain responsible for decision making can actually decrease in size through severe cases of addiction. How many of you have ever heard that before? Crazy, right? Well, we asked for a brain scan from one of these researchers in Germany and asking her to kind of show us what that looks like. This is what you can kind of tell. It's small, so you have to squint. But you can see right there on that outer ridge, just what it's doing to serious stuff. Man. I was doing a presentation in Louisiana, and I had two little younger girls in the front row. And I went to the slide, I said, yeah, I can shrink your brain. I showed this slide, and they're like, no way. Oh, cute. Anyway, so of course, no, what does it do? Front lobes, where are they located? Let's establish that first. Where are they located? Right there, right where the name suggests, in the front part of the brain. Now, this is the decision-making area of your brain. This is where you weigh out pros and cons and think through a situation or scenario, right? Ah, so it's no wonder then. It's no wonder the addicts have a hard time stopping that unwanted behavior, because the part of their brain that's supposed to help them through that, to kind of say, wait, if I do this, it's going to lead to this and this and this, I don't want that. That part of their brain has been altered, changed, rewired. Interesting. Now, we didn't always know this stuff. We've learned a lot about addiction and about how things can be addictive in our past. Look at how we've got it wrong in the past. This is an ad for cocaine toothache drops for children. How many of you have ever had a toothache in your life? Just period. Anyway, yeah. They're awful, right? They're no fun. Can you imagine today going to your doctor saying, Doc, I got this toothache. It's killing me. Give me something. And he's like, I got just the thing. Grab some cocaine, drops on the table. He's like, oh, you're going to love this. It's going to make you forget the pain. It's going to make you forget you have teeth even, right? Wouldn't happen today. Why wouldn't that happen today? If the doctor's licensed, why wouldn't that happen today? Yeah. Because cocaine's illegal, because it's super addictive. We finally figured out that cocaine was addictive, that it could mess up your life, and that it should cost more than 15 cents. We learned these things along the way, right? We plow forward, okay? It happened yet again in our history with alcohol. This is an ad for new mothers, mothers with newborn babies, telling them that if they should drink more alcohol so that the benefits would pass on through their body and onto the nursing child. What? Right? After seeing a bunch of drunken babies, stumbling man mid-crawl, they stopped doing that. But they are among us still. No, just kidding. It happened yet again with tobacco. You see, doctors used to prescribe smoking as a way to soothe the nerves and clean out the lungs. It's laughable today. A third grader could tell us otherwise today. But back then, it was a serious question. We didn't know that those things could be harmful. You see, science always has to catch up with truth. Period. Science has to catch up with truth. And guess what? Society has to then catch up with science. And the reason I'm telling you all this about addiction is that we are in a similar learning experience in our history. You're part of this, regarding the topic of pornography. You see, back in the day, it used to be kind of one of those things that, like, yeah, you know, some people thought it was bad, other people thought it was fine and normal, but it was kind of like your own opinion or your own belief systems. Not today. Today, we know more about addiction than we've ever known. We know more about pornography and what it can lead to and the brain than we've ever known. And what we have found through studies and research and peer-reviewed studies is that pornography is like a drug when it comes to the brain. Now, every time I give this presentation, there's always somebody in the audience who's like, wait a second. I don't smoke it. I don't drink it. I don't inhale it. I don't stick it. Whatever you do with drugs. Anyway, I don't do any of those things. How is this like a drug? Let me show you. You see, it goes in through the eyes, and it triggers a release of chemicals into the reward pathway of your brain. And it releases these chemicals like oxytocin, serotonin, epinephrine, dopamine. These chemicals flood that reward pathway to the point where your brain literally starts to rewire itself and change and alter. And over time, just to feel normal, you need to keep on feeding it more of what you've been feeding it more often and a more hardcore version. And the things that you used to like to do start to lose their value and interest because they don't release enough. Does this sound familiar? It's the exact same process that occurs with drugs. You see, when it comes to the brain, addiction is addiction is addiction. It doesn't matter if it's heroin, cocaine, or pornography. It doesn't matter. The brain responds very similarly. Now, the body reacts very differently depending on what you're doing, right? Pornography doesn't make your hair turn yellow or hair fall out or teeth turn yellow. It has different impacts and different effects. But when it comes to the brain, addiction is addiction. Now, remember our friend Matt? Who struggled with a lot of addiction in his life? Well, he also struggled with an addiction to pornography as well as his addiction to drugs. And I asked him to compare those, and this is what he had to say. Check it out.
So I got clean, and one of the things I found is, of course, the intrigue with pornography is the high, the natural high, and the rush that you can get from images and seeing those things. Of course, I would have never considered pornography to be an addiction. But what I found is that as I would, you know, look at more and indulge in that, a lot of the patterns that I was starting to have were similar to, you know, added patterns. It wasn't until after I got married and had that a lot of these things came together that I realized I was having a problem similar to the problem that I had with the drugs. I don't know how to describe other than it was an eye-opener for me to realize how much of an addiction this actually can be. The most difficult thing about it was, unlike drugs, I couldn't just detox. I couldn't just change my environment or friends or anything like that. You know, triggers were now everywhere, and a lot of these things were seared in my mind. And I could tell the difference that it made in my perception and my thinking that were absolutely identical to the challenges I had with drugs. And that's when I realized I had to kind of approach it a lot more aggressively and treat it like a drug. And it's a fight. You've got to actually fight it.
When I was packing up the equipment from this interview, I asked Matt. I said, Matt, which one was harder to quit, hard drugs or pornography? And without skipping a beat, he said pornography, which was a shock to me. I was like, really? Why? How? And he said, well, first of all, he called it a memory-based drug, so you can recall those images at any time. Second of all, we are inundated with this material. We are flooded in our society with this material. It comes and finds you, right? So it's really difficult to detox from that. So this is a really big challenge for so many people. And what we now know is that pornography can lead to an actual addiction. And I can't tell you, at our organization at Fight the New Drug, we receive thousands upon thousands of emails from all over the world, from kids your age, telling us about their story, their struggles, their trial with this. And they always talk about this material and how there's kind of this downward spiral, that it starts innocent and kind of just curious, and it leads to things that are more aggressive and harmful and more harmful effects. And I wish we had time to speak more about that, but we got to move on. So again, we now know that pornography can be addictive. The first thing that we talked about, number one reason. For how many of you That actually is enough. You don't even need to hear anymore. That's enough for you to say, you know what, that's not cool. I don't want that in my life. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand. Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, let's talk about the second thing, all right, which is what? The second thing is relationships. Okay? Relationships are something that kind of like all of us, how many of you hope to someday maybe want to go on a date? Right? Yeah. Yeah? Some of you are like, I ain't doing that. No way. How many of you hope to someday maybe want to get married and, you know, spend the rest of your life with your best friend? Raise your hand. That's you. Okay, so this is kind of something we all want. Well, some of us want. Most of us want. Right? And this is a part that's kind of really impacting us, okay? When we talk about the impact of pornography, this is where the rubber hits the road. And it's an ability to hit on our relationships and our ability to connect with others. There's a guy by the name of Norman Deutsch, and he's a researcher. He talks about this idea of a disordered arousal template. Now, that's kind of a lot of words, right? And he's even going to give me more words here. A lot of words to describe the fact that what we consume, let me go back here a second, what we consume actually shapes what we are attracted to. What we consume on a regular basis actually changes what we are into and what we're looking for. And that is having a major impact on relationships all over the world. I won't read that quote because that's basically what it says. It's like saying that our brains rewire to a point where our preferences alter and change. We got an email not long ago from a young boy who said this. He said, please help me. I've been desensitized by porn. The stuff I used to watch no longer works. Now I need violent fantasies. Please, I don't want to be this way. Now, do you think that he was kind of born interested in violence against women? No. That was kind of something that his brain and his interests were warped and rewired toward that content. And we're seeing that across the board in major ways. It's not okay. It's not cool. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about some research done by a guy named Dr. Timbers. And I'll tie a bow on this in a second. He did a study where he actually studied some butterflies. This is back in the day. And what he did is, as soon as he figured out which markings on the female butterfly wing were most eye-catching to their mates, so he studied and analyzed the markings on the butterfly wings, as soon as he figured that out, he decided to make his own cardboard versions of those same butterfly wings. Okay? And then he kind of created those, but he made made the colors and made the markings more elaborate, more extreme, more colorful than anything you'd find in nature. And then he took those butterflies and he put them in an environment with both male and female butterflies. And guess what happened? The male butterflies exclusively tried to connect and mate with those cardboard decoys. Exclusively. They were like, went up to him like, hey, you don't talk much, but whatever. You know, like, let's try this out. Now, that's kind of messed up, right? What does this have to do with pornography? Well, everything in pornography, from the way that people dress to what they look like, to the reasons that they engage, are just as counterfeit and fake and false as Tim Burton's cardboard decoys. And just like these butterflies that were trying to like find a mate and kind of find a relationship and a connection, porn users often obsess about something that's not real and end up missing out and harming the very real relationships in their lives. What we're finding out is that individuals that regularly consume pornography oftentimes end up preferring the fantasy to reality. They end up preferring pixels to people. How many of you think that that's a healthy outlook on a relationship? Good. 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 Not okay, right? Not okay. That's impacting relationships in a major way. When you start preferring the pixels to people, that's a major challenge. Now, Raymond Bergner and Anna Bridges also did a study around this kind of same thing, except they didn't do it with butterflies. They did it with people this time. And they actually showed, they gathered two groups of individuals. They showed one group of individuals pornography on a regular basis. The other group of individuals, they were the healthy volunteers, and they didn't show them anything. Guess what they found? Individuals that were regularly consuming pornography experienced a significant decrease in satisfaction with their real relationships. You see, there's this myth that people have bought into that pornography can spice up a relationship, bring it back, right? But what we're learning is that it does just the opposite. What they're looking for, it provides just the opposite. Individuals end up feeling more lonely, more depressed, and less satisfied with their real relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a kind of relationship that I want, right? Now, we have a friend, her name's Maria, who dealt with this and dealt with kind of the objectification. You heard the Kite sisters talk about objectification, right? What does it mean? What does objectification mean? Anybody? Treat it like an object, right? It's like we stop looking at people as individuals with hopes and dreams and aspirations and thoughts and feelings and start looking at them as a collection of body parts, which is kind of messed up, and you can kind of see that messing it up. And our friend Maria, who grew up on the west coast of the United States, talks about how her relationship was completely destroyed once they started to prefer the fantasy to reality. Check it out.
When I started being sort of exposed to pornography, it wasn't in lock your door, make sure no one's at home kind of way. You know, it wasn't really secretive and hidden. I didn't really feel bad about it. You know, I didn't feel like I was doing something wrong. And people were always sort of surprised, you know, especially like other women, like, oh, I can't believe you let your husband do that. And I'd sort of think, let him do that. We're both doing that. I didn't see it coming almost. Like I didn't know that like porn was capable of ruining a relationship. You know, when you realize that you both would rather look at a computer screen and you don't even want to be with each other, it's just really sad. I've always enjoyed the intimate part of the relationship. I've always enjoyed being with another person, and the fact that for me that went away was, oh man, it blindsided me. Oh, it was heartbreaking. You know, it robbed us. It totally robbed us.
I had no idea that we had like this poisonous ingredient in our marriage. You know, that there was something else that was, you know, spoiling us from the inside out. And there was no way we were ever gonna fix anything if we hadn't, you know, ever attacked that problem.
I had a lot of, you know, religious friends or people that would tell you, like, morally, don't do it, it's wrong. But I was a big girl. I always felt like I was very capable of making up my own mind. And it wasn't until I actually learned the physical, scientific effects of pornography that it all came full circle for me, and it all came clear. All of a sudden, I could understand why I got rejected when I tried to initiate physical contact, why we didn't talk, why we both turned to pornography instead of each other. I mean, I'm a living, breathing example of the pure science facts.
Now, let's see. Now, Marie's doing a lot better now, thank goodness, right? She's doing a lot better. Her ex-husband is still struggling, right? And so this is something that is impacting relationships in a major, major way. So now, we kind of adopt this philosophy and this mantra that porn kills love. The very ability, our very ability to connect with others is being harmed. We have a generation growing up today, my generation, your generation growing up today, with a completely different understanding and attitude about what love is and what intimacy looks like and healthy sexuality is. And so we've got to kind of rally behind that and kind of show the rest of the world that that's not a reality, that porn kills love and it's not promoting that. And we have hundreds of thousands of youth all over the world that have rallied behind this and kind of gotten on board with this mission, this movement. And it's incredible to see a generation take back love and take back their ability to kind of connect with others and love one another. So we've learned two things. One is that it can be addictive. Number two is that it can kill love, or it really harms our relationships. For how many of you, learning those two things is enough for you to say, you know what, that's not cool, I don't want that in my life. Raise your hand if that's you. Awesome. More. All right, but before we get into the third thing, which fires me up, the third one fires me up for sure. Before we get into that, I need Let's see, I need 5 volunteers, okay? 1 right here, 1, 2 in the glasses, 3 in the glasses, let's go, 4 right here, and let's get a girl, 5 right here, come on up. I want you to stand right up here, and look out at the audience, okay? Now, what's gonna happen is, what's your name?
Emily.
So Emily, this is going to be a true or false, it's your favorite kind of test, right? True or false? Emily, if you get the question correct, I'm going to give you one of these cool Become a Fighter wristbands and a Become a Fighter t-shirt. Are you game? If you get the question right, are you okay with that? Totally. If you get the question wrong, however, I'm going to give you one of these cool Become a Fighter wristbands and a cool Become a Fighter t-shirt. Are you cool with that? All right, so pressure's on is all I'm saying. T-shirts are on their way, but right now I want to ask you a question, Emily, right? Emily, here we go. Your question is, all addictions come from chemicals that you place inside your body, you put into your body. Is that true or false? You sure about that? 100%? False. Give it up for Emily. Good job. Well done. Good job. All right. What's your name? Zach. All right, Zach. Here we go. Your question is, you study? You look smart. Okay, here we go. Your question is, viewing pornography makes you appreciate and respect those that you are attracted to. Is that true or false?
False.
What does it do instead? Not that, right? Okay, so good job. Well done, Zach. Give it up. Well done. All right, what's your name? Ben? All right, Ben, here we go. This is your question. Ben, pornography decreases your interest in real relationships with other people and it increases your appetite for more porn. Is that true or false? True. Well done. Give it up for Ben. Good job. Hey, Emily, and where's Zach? Zach, get up here. We got a shirt for you. Craig right there is going to give you a shirt. So, okay, what's your name?
Bennett.
So Ben and then Bennett. Here we go, Bennett. This is your question. Viewing pornography is harmless and it only affects you. Is that true or false?
False.
Good job. Bennett, give it up for Bennett. And last but not least, Kaylee, this is your question, Kaylee. Pornography addiction is extremely hard to overcome. Is that true or false?
True.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Well done. Give it up for Kaylee. Good job. Get a shirt from Greg. Okay. So guys, now let's talk about this last thing. Now, what she said at the end there, you need to remember that. It is possible. The brain can rewire to an unhealthy state, but just like it can rewire back to an unhealthy state, it can rewire to a healthy state. And we'll talk more about that at the end here. Let's talk about this last one, the world. This is one that fires me up, gets me angry, gets me kind of charged up, because what we're learning now about pornography and today's pornography is that it's much different today than it's ever been, right? What's the biggest difference from today versus when your parents were growing up? Technology and internet, right? Okay, so it's a totally different game today. And we can talk about the accessibility all day long, but what we're also missing in that dialogue is that the very nature of the content has changed and warped over the years. It's a completely different story today. Parents and you guys are using the same word to define two very different things. What we now know is that pornography is incredibly violent, abusive, harmful, humiliating, and more to women and children and all that view it. A study was done not long ago, and they found that out of the top films that were analyzed, these are the mainstream, most viewed films, that 88% of the material was found to be physically violent and aggressive toward women. Now, how many of you think it's not okay to be physically violent and aggressive toward women? Raise your hand, right? Every hand is up in the air right now. That is not cool, not okay. And yet, who's viewing this material? This is mainstream. We are. Our society. We're viewing this. And 90% of it nearly is this way. So how then is this changing and warping our preferences, our sexual templates that we talked about earlier? It's changing it. An entire generation is starting to shift and pivot toward more aggressive and more violent forms of intimacy and love. And it's messing us up in major ways. Now, we often talk about the porn industry and we talk about the sex trafficking industry. Do you guys know what sex trafficking is? It's the slavery part, right? People that are forced into this area against their wills. And we often talk about them as two different things. But what we now know through people that are coming out and telling us their stories is that they are one industry. In fact, most of the people that are trafficked to produce pornography. But in a way that you don't realize that they're trafficked. One girl told us that there was a gun off camera, pointed at her head, telling her that if she didn't make it look like she was agreeing to it, that they'd kill her. So there's this notion that they are agreeing to this, that they're okay with this, and that, you know, that was a career choice, is in many cases false. And what we click, we support, right? And I don't know about you, but this was enough for me to say, heck no, I don't support that. I don't think that's cool at all. In no way, form, or fashion is that okay. I actually ran into a woman in D.C. who actually struggled with this. She was trafficked, and she tells us her story about it. Check it out.
I speak from experience to say that there are victims and survivors who have been drugged and forced into this ugliness against their wills. I realize that this statement flies in the face of the mainstream, monothought, stereotypical mentality that porn is something that women choose, or that she likes it. She asked for it. She chose it. Although that might be true for some, many are coerced into agreeing with whatever our pornographer says just to stay alive. You know, I was drugged before each filming. Sometimes it was with an amnesiac, sometimes with a paralyzing drug, sometimes with pain blockers, sometimes a crazy combination of all of them. We lie to cover up the truth. We do not have the words to speak out because our pain is too graphic, and it's next to impossible to describe what happened to us. We're met with dismissals and denials. I'm here to tell you, some of us have succumbed to more drug addictions, some to insanity, some to crippling isolation, and some even to death.
How does that make you feel when you hear that story? Heavy, sad, angry. These are the feelings that I feel when we get these emails coming in. It's not cool. It's not okay. It's not fine. And this material that is continually and more aggressively violent and abusive today than any other time in the history of the world, right? You guys are dealing with this to a scale and intensity like no other generation before you. And this content is shaping and warping our ideas about that content, thinking it's okay, it's not a big deal, it's fine, it's natural. Is it? No. But that has changed our world in so many ways. Now, I believe that if we don't do something about this, that this cycle will continue. That need for more and more often and a more hardcore version will increase. And individuals will push the boundaries continually. And relationships will continue to be very harmed. But I also believe that it doesn't have to be this way. That we, in this room, actually can change the course of history. And it really starts with us individually rejecting pornography for what it is, for what it stands for the messages that it brings, which will change our understanding and perception and our attitude around it. It'll change the conversation and start to look at it and say, that's addictive, that's harmful, that's not okay, which will in turn change our world. It's possible. We're seeing it being done all across the United States, where young people just like you are rallying behind a mission and a cause to say, you know what, we're going to take back love, we're going to take this back, and we're not going to stand for these abusive and violent forms and these harmful variations of love and intimacy. I believe that we can change the conversation, and I believe it rests on your shoulders to do so. We need you. If you're on board with this mission, we need you. We need you to support it. We need you to get on board. And now we know three things about pornography. One, it can be addictive. Number two, it can kill love. And number three is that it can really mess up our society. For how many of you, that's enough for you to say, that's not cool. I don't want that in my life. Let me hear you. Raise your hand and let me hear you. Yeah. Let me hear you. Yeah. Who's on board? Now, guys, we can do this. It takes you. It takes all of us. You weren't born with the context and understanding of where we come from, but we can do this. Now, I'm running out of time, so I've got to skip a few things, but it boils down to choice. It boils down to choice. You have that choice. Before you give that choice up to something that can take over that ability to make choices, make it now. Choose to avoid this stuff and join the hundreds of thousands that have already rallied behind this mission and cause to kind of say, that's not okay. That's not cool. Now, for many of you, you might be struggling today. You might actually be in a position where you are dealing with this today. And I am so pumped to tell you that there is absolute hope. I mentioned it before, but there are so many people you can turn to. People that are being represented out here in the booths. People like your religious leaders. People like your parents that want to see you succeed. You can overcome this. We've seen it. But the more we learn about this, the more we realize that you need assistance and help in most cases. But if you can't turn to anybody, if you're not there yet, at least turn to us. We created a Fortify program that's online-based, anonymous, and free. And because of that, we've had tens of thousands of teens sign up for this program and start getting the help that they need from all over across the world. And so if you need that help, if you need that assistance, sign up at fortifyprogram.org to start that process of recovery and long-lasting freedom. I want to show you one last thing to conclude. And that thing is, I want to show you our story, okay? You might be thinking to yourself, like, what on earth, how did you get into this area? How do you start doing what you do? That's probably the biggest question I get. And that's a good question. And I want to show you our story. And I wanted to talk about the fact that, like, if we're going to make a change here, we've got to promote the new. We've got to promote a positive. We've got to promote what we're fighting for rather than just what we're fighting against. So pay attention to our story right here.
This all started when we met in college. Just a few guys sharing a simple desire to one day make an impact on the world. In many of our discussions together, it quickly became apparent that we'd all been affected in one way or another by one thing, pornography. Either in our own lives or the lives of our friends, family members, or just people we knew. We were surprised, actually, by the amount of different opinions on the issue. And we knew that this was a subject that most people just didn't want to talk about. I mean, when was the last time you had a nice dinner conversation about the good old topic of porn? So we started looking into the subject and found science and research proving its harm. And we realized that there was a legitimate epidemic growing in our society. We knew we had to start somewhere. A year later, armed with nothing but passion and an idea, we started building our movement like anybody would by launching a Facebook page.
And become a fighter.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. I hope that you guys can rally with us and start changing the conversation. The last thing I want to do, and we have like seconds to do it, I want all of us to come up front. Let's take a big, massive photo together. So come on up right now, right up here on stage. Craig's going to take it. Russ, hustle, hustle, hustle. The new group's coming in. Get up in the back. If you don't want to, don't have to. Just come up if you want to come up. All right. All right. Here we come.
I chose here.
See you guys.
I chose here. I don't think we're all fit.
Done.
All fit.
All right.
No way.
If you want in, you get in. Okay, you got light, enough light. It's good enough. Okay, guys, we're gonna take it. So you gotta hurry, you gotta hurry. We got the new group coming in. We gotta hurry, we gotta hurry. Come on up, come on up. Okay, here we go. Here we go, line up, line up. Fit, if you can, get on a chair. Craig, get on a chair or something. Can you get all of us? Okay, one, two. So you better be smiling big, yeah. Hands in the air, whatever it takes. One. Two, three, picture.
Picture.
Yeah, what do you say? Yeah, one, two, three, on three. Boom. Okay, sweet, thanks guys, appreciate it.